Hello, everyone. I'm glad to see you with us tonight here at Timberline Baptist Church. It doesn't quite look like Timberline Baptist Church, though, does it? Well, that's because it's not. As you know, we're broadcasting all day today from our home here in Woodland Park, and we needed to do that, and I'm just going to give another explanation here tonight. I don't know that I need to for the folks who are going to tune in, but I do know that I'm going to let you know. The roads have been icy, and so have the sidewalks, and we needed to have our evening service here and broadcast over the airwaves so that folks would remain safe. Plus, right now, I think it's either 7, 8, or 9 degrees here in Woodland Park, a little bit warmer down in Colorado Springs, but the wind chills are deadly. And I didn't want any of our elderly congregation, and we have folks that mostly are an elderly congregation, and I didn't want them out in this weather and risking their lives with the sub-zero wind chills and the slick roads and all the rest of it. And of course, Brother Penn and I consulted together about this, and together we agreed that this was the best thing to do, was to have services online. And so here we are, having services online, and of course this is our evening service. And so very, very thankful that you've joined us tonight. Let me just iterate once again. You see that the background and everything's backwards here from what it would normally be. Facebook made a change in their last update, and the last update took away the ability to flip the screen to the right perspective. So now, Lord willing, tomorrow, because I plan to go down to the church, Lord willing, tomorrow, I'll download these videos off of Facebook, and then I will put them, I'll reprocess them and make the perspective the way that it ought to be and upload everything to YouTube, and it'll be there for tomorrow. But anyway, enough of that. I'm glad you're with us tonight. I hope you've had a great Sunday afternoon. We've had a very good afternoon here at our house. Very relaxing, delicious meals. My goodness, we had a tremendous lunch this afternoon after the morning service. And just good to be with you all tonight. I'm glad you're here. I hope you have your Bibles out and ready to go, because we're going to be looking once again into one of the great Psalms of the Bible. And I trust that you will just take time to look through the verses and all the rest of it. But let's start with a song tonight. My voice is not as chipper as I would like it to be right now. As you can tell, it's a little on the rough side, but we're just going to sing Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. And great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Would you sing with me tonight? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. And this morning we sang, Let's Talk About Jesus, and tonight we're going to do our best to bring honor and glory to him. But I am glad that you are here this evening. Thank you so much. I am armed with a fresh cup of steaming hot coffee. This is Pioneer Blend of 1850, it's called. It's a really good cup of coffee. And I'm also armed with my cup of water, which I will probably need before it's all said and done. So if you're all settled in tonight, and I trust that you are, let me start with some announcements if I can, just like I normally would. For our services, but I do want to remind you that in Sunday school we are finishing up the Minor Prophets. A number of months ago, many months ago, it was suggested to me that possibly we could look into doing the Minor Prophets. Well, now we're coming to the end of that study, and we're finishing up the book of Malachi. Lord willing, on next Sunday, we're going to go a little bit further into some of the questions that God's people asked the Lord. And they did not just ask questions, they were actually questioning him. And we've already looked at a number of those, and we're going to look at more of them on this coming Sunday, Lord willing. On Wednesday nights, of course, we are back into the lessons from Proverbs, and I hope you're going to be able to join us for those. And Proverbs, by the way, is always a tremendous inspiration. You know, every verse in Proverbs is a lesson on its own. And let's see here, next Sunday night following the evening service, I'm reading it here, next Sunday following the evening service, we will celebrate all of the January birthdays, spiritual birthdays, and anniversaries with our annual Chili Dog Fellowship. A sign-up sheet is located on the usher's table in the back of the auditorium, and we want you to bring your favorite toppings, whatever that might be, the toppings and the fixins for that. Some of you will sign up for chili, some of you for shredded cheese, others for chopped onions. Of course, we want you to bring hot dogs and buns. We want you to do that. Can't have a hot dog fellowship without those two things. And then we're going to provide, of course, the coffee and the punch. It'll be a tremendous night. And by the way, this has been an annual tradition for us for many, many years. I mentioned it this morning, but as you know, Super Bowl used to be held on the last Sunday of the month. Well, we've always had our birthday and anniversary fellowships on the last Sunday of the month. And we wanted to make sure that on Super Bowl Sunday, we had a fellowship at church with hot dogs and chili and all the rest of it. And I just don't think anybody ought to miss church because they have the Super Bowl to attend. And so we always planned our fellowship that way. Always had a tremendous time. Want you to bring your favorite topping or condiment or whatever it might be. Ketchup and mustard is provided. Got to remember the hot sauce because a lot of us like hot sauce on our hot dogs as well as chili. So keep that in mind if you would. And this morning I advertised our coffee spot at the church. Freshly brewed coffee is available every Sunday morning from about 9:15 until 9:40, just before Sunday school begins. So if you get there early enough, you can get a hot cup of coffee. Sometimes we have pastries and donuts, and but not every Sunday, but we would like for you to be a part of that fellowship that we have on Sunday mornings. A number of you do participate with that, and I'm glad that you do. It's always a good thing. And I've also been reminding you in the pastor's pen on the back of the bulletin about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. I still believe with all of my heart that it could be tonight before the service is over with. And I do mean that with all of my heart. The Apostle Paul said it could be any minute, the imminent return of Christ, looking forward to Jesus coming back. I can't wait for that trumpet to sound and the angel to shout and we be caught up together with the dead in Christ that will rise first. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, we can comfort one another with these words. And those, by the way, are very comforting words. I find it interesting that when you read the verb tenses in that particular passage out of 1 Thessalonians, that you end up seeing that the Apostle Paul was expecting Jesus to return in his day. So I don't think it's wrong for us to expect the Lord to return in our day as well. It says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I happen to be one who believes what the Bible says, and I do thank the Lord for that. But I'm glad that you're here with us tonight. I do hope you have your Bibles and you're ready to go into a message tonight concerning Psalm 85. Do you have your Bible open to Psalm 85? A favorite psalm of so many Christians, and they love to read it, and there's so many good things that are said in it, and tonight we're going to look at that some. I promise not to keep you long tonight, but I am very thankful that you chose to be with us this evening. So right now, let's have us an opening word of prayer, and would you pray along with me, and let's ask the Lord that he will choose to meet with us tonight. Even though we're not at the church building, we are meeting in your building tonight. And I hope you're comfortable, and I trust that you're warm, and that you're all ready to go for Sunday night church. And our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much that we can meet like this. Years ago, we couldn't, didn't have the wherewithal, did not have the knowledge, and I'm just so very thankful, Lord, that we have this medium that we can meet together on Sundays, or Wednesdays, or whenever we have to. When the weather is dangerous for our folks to get out, when the roads are treacherous, I'm thankful, Lord, that we can broadcast from here. I'm thankful for a strong Wi-Fi signal from our home that goes out. That's not going to glitch up on anybody tonight. That's not going to fade in and out or maybe even pause. So thank you, Lord, for that ability. And I ask you now that you meet with us. Bless the teaching and preaching of your word tonight. Bless those who've tuned in. Oh, Lord, bless them tonight. Don't let this be a waste for them. I ask it in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You have your Bible there, Psalm 85. We're going to read the last three verses of the chapter. Some of you may have to turn a page in your Bible in order to get to those. We're looking at verses 11, 12, and 13. And I will read these out loud, and you follow along as I read, please. Verse 11, "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." Tonight I want to take my sermon title from the verse that simply says, "Righteousness shall look down." Righteousness shall look down. Psalm 85 is one of those great psalms in the Bible that God's people used in Bible times during their worship. They really did. And this great psalm could be compared, to a testimony song like "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's the kind of psalm that Psalm 85 is, used in worship. And as you know, in our churches today, we sing John Newton's song, "Amazing Grace," with all of our hearts and mean it as a testimony of our lives. Or it could be compared to any other testimony song of today. God's people were looking back and counting their blessings. And that's a good thing for God's people to do. By the way, let me ask you a question. Have you counted any of your blessings today? I trust that you have. Counting blessings keeps us from becoming bitter, unthankful, and mean in our spirits toward other people. And let's keep that in mind. God has been good to his people, and this psalm reflects that. And because of God's goodness, now listen very carefully. Some of you are taking notes right now, and you need to write this down. Because of God's goodness shown to God's people, they made a few requests of him. Let me give you three of those, and then a fourth one. Look, if you would please, to verse 4, where they said, "Turn us from our sin to God." It says in verse 4, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease." Funny thing, they recognized God's anger toward their sin, toward them, because of their hard-heartedness. And then notice the second request in verse 6, where they say, "Revive us." In other words, they want to cause us to live again. We become a dead nation. We become a dead people toward God. And it says in verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Sounds to me like people who are revived do the rejoicing. I wonder if the opposite of that is true. Those who are not revived don't rejoice very much. And then notice the third request, if you would. It says in verse 8, "Speak peace to us." Verse 8 says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." That turning again phrase is so very important. They wanted God's face to turn toward them, to shine upon them, and they wanted their faces to turn away from their rebellion. What an incredible request. But then God's people made a fourth request, and it's almost hidden in the verbiage of the verse itself. And I want you to look, if you would please, in verse 11. They made this fourth request. It says, this request was looked down from heaven. And it says, "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." They wanted God to once again look down upon them, not down at them, but to look upon them. Throughout the Old Testament, you find the phrase turn or turn again, wanting God to turn or to return, meaning that God's face had been turned away from them because of their rebellion, because of their hard-heartedness, and they wanted God once again to look at them. Now look, if you would please, but what is meant by that phrase? It's an interesting promise. He says that righteousness will look down from heaven if a particular condition is met. That's right, a condition. And notice what it says. It says here, that what was that condition? Truth must spring out of the earth. But what is meant by that phrase? The word truth that God chose to put here in this particular verse, and many of you are study bugs like what I am, and I am a study bug. The word truth here simply means a faithful and consistent goodness, a fidelity, a faithfulness, integrity and justice, sincerity and truth. That's what's found there. And he wants his people to do just exactly that. And they recognized what's going to get the smile of God. And then look at the word spring, if you would please, in that verse. It means a shooting, a sprouting up. In order for us to know the smile of God, our faithfulness and our integrity must be on the grow. Did you hear what I said? Must be on the grow. I have said often, no one is standing still in their Christian life. Either you're going forward or you're going backward, but no one is standing still. And that is simply a truth. That is a logical truth that the Word of God gives us. It's sort of like Psalm 80 and verse 3. Let me read this to you. It says, "Turn again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Cause thy face to shine. That's right. They did not want God's face to be in the shadows to them anymore, but they wanted God to look upon them, you see. And again, Psalm 31 and verse 16, a beautiful verse, especially the first few words where it says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." A number of years ago, Bonnie Hayden sang a song on a scripture song or on one of her tapes. It was simply called, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Make thy face to shine upon me, Lord." Now, what were they asking God to do? They were asking God to look down upon them with favor and blessing. Oh, how they wanted it back. And you know what? If you don't realize you don't have it, you're not going to ask for it back. And God's people here knew that they had lost that blessing and they wanted it back. They used this psalm in their worship. Now, what was God saying here? I want to give you three little truths before I come to the meat of the message tonight. God does not require us to be mature. Rather, he requires us to be maturing. There's a difference. God does not require us to be grown up, but he does expect us to be growing up. God does not expect us to be spiritual. That's right, I said that correctly. But he does expect us to be growing spiritually. You see, there's such a difference. You know, many of us are not the mature Christians we ought to be. Many of us are not the grown-up Christians that we ought to be. Many of us are not the spiritual Christians that we ought to be. But all of us ought to be headed in the right direction, growing as we ought, doing the things that God requires of us in order to be growing and to be maturing and to becoming more and more spiritual in our lives. Today, you know, it's an amazing thing. Somebody says, "Oh, you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good." Well, pray tell, what do you want us to be? So worldly minded that we're no spiritually good, no heavenly good? No, God wants us to be growing to where I think they call that progressive sanctification. And what is that? That is the process where we as Christian people, saved people, know the Lord, blood bought, washed, born again. God wants us to become day by day less like the world around us and more like the Savior who saved us. And that's what he's saying here. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, O Lord. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Oh, how they longed for God's blessing. They wanted to be the kind of people that God had saved them to be, the kind of people that God bought them to be. And so let me show you this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, this is a verse that I have put on our church website concerning our church staff. How thankful I am for a faithful church staff. These folks who have worked with us for these years, for 21 years, Joanna was with us. For these 34 and a half years, the Pens have been with us, and we have all worked together. But I put this verse on our website about our staff, where the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And you've heard me say it before, but the people of Timberline Baptist Church ought to have the best testimonies wherever they live and wherever they work. Why? Because we're to be faithful stewards of what God has caused us to be stewards of. That's bad English, but it says exactly what I want to say. And it does not happen by accident, ladies and gentlemen. It happens absolutely, totally, and positively on purpose. No one becomes a good Christian, no one becomes a faithful Christian by accident. It has to happen on purpose, which means there are things that we must do. As we see here in this one verse where it says in verse 11 of Psalm 85, truth shall spring out of the earth, that's going up, and righteousness shall look down from heaven, that's coming down. So something has to come up from us to the Lord. What will cause God's face to shine upon our church? What will cause God's face to shine upon us as his servants? I've only written down four things. Like I said, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. This morning, I believe I had you online for about 50 minutes. Tonight, I don't believe it's going to be near that long. But let me share these short but yet pointed thoughts to you, if I may. Because more than anything in my life, I want God to be pleased with me. And I must be honest and admit, God has not always been pleased with the choices that I have made, the life that I have lived. I've been saved for 61 years next month. I would like to say those 61 years have been spent in absolute total surrender to the Lord, but they have not been. It wasn't until 1973 in February that I surrendered my life to serve the Lord. But why didn't I do that before? Maybe I didn't hear it much, maybe I didn't understand it, but it finally got hold of me in 1973 in February. So let me give you these four areas. It won't take long to mention them, but if you're writing them down, you might want to do that now. Number one, we need to be that faithful servant in our walk with God. Pastor, that's old news. Yeah, but the question is, are we doing it? Are we doing it as we should? All of us have room for growth. Our walk should be getting better and better with each and every passing day. You see, none of us have arrived. I certainly have not. And though I've been saved for nearly 61 years, I have areas where I need to grow. And there are things that I have not yet learned. I would hate to go to any church service and think that I knew everything that was going on many years ago. Many of you remember Mrs. White. Now, let me get me a drink of my hot coffee before it gets cold. Many of you remember Mrs. White, dear saint of God. When I first came to the church in 1990, she played the little electric organ that we had up in the old building. She was a sweet blessing in so many ways. But one day she said to me, Pastor, what are you going to preach on tonight? And I said, tonight I'm going to preach on the rapture. And without blinking an eye, she looked at me and she said, oh, I know all about that. I'm staying home tonight. And I got to thinking, boy, maybe I need to talk to her because I don't know everything about it yet. I would like to know everything about it. I'm just waiting for the trumpet and waiting for the angel to shout. That's what I'm waiting for. But I never want to get to the place in my life where I sit through a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or something and say, well, I already knew that. I want God to speak to my heart through the truths of the Word of God, and I need to always be growing. And I think about my relationship to the Word of God. I think about my relationship in my prayer life. I think about my relationship in my witnessing and my faithfulness to church. You say, oh, but Pastor, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be there. I make a choice every Sunday to go to church. This choice is not made on Sunday morning. The choice was made many years ago. I don't look for reasons to stay home. I look for opportunities to be there. Whether I'm the pastor or not, I'm a person, I'm a people, just like you are. And I need to be there. It is a choice. One pastor has written on Facebook, as you know, our church has a Facebook page. And he's written many times that Sunday school is a Saturday night choice. I disagree with that. That is not a Saturday night choice, and it certainly ought not be a Sunday morning choice. It ought to be a life choice, that's just what we're going to do. And I mean that with all of my being, and I'm challenging all of my people and those who are online with us right now who are not a part of Timberline Baptist Church. That decision should be one that is made, I mean, no matter what. Not made on Saturday night, certainly not made on Sunday morning, but one that has already been made. When I think about that, I think about Daniel's choice in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, where the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the king's wine. That little word purposed is a past tense. I mean, it's a decision that was already made. before he was ever taken into captivity, it was already made that he would not defile himself. It wasn't one of those, oh, let me pray about it, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. No. That was already made. Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek services. Those are not things I pray about. Those are services that I pray for each of my people. Bible reading, prayer, witnessing, faithfulness to church, and so many other things. And so in our walk with God, this is something that ought to be springing up in our lives day by day that will please the Lord. And I said in our walk with God, you notice I mentioned that first. That's talking about our relationship with Him. That's not my relationship with you. That's my relationship with Him so that my relationship with you can be right, so that my relationship with my ministry, with the things that God has for me, with my family, all these different things come from that. I wrote down a second area where we need to be springing up toward heaven so that heaven can smile down in righteousness, and that is in our homes. The most decent people anywhere ought to be the people right in Timberline Baptist Church. And I know some of you folks that don't attend Timberline, you're tuning in tonight out of kindness of your heart, and I love you for it. But I'm talking to my church family first and foremost, but you as well. And that is the most decent people in any community, no matter who you are, and in your home. You ought to have a decent home, husbands and wives that are faithful, not just to the Lord, but faithful to each other. Absolutely faithful to each other, faithful in their hearts, faithful in their living, faithful in their words, faithful in every area of your life toward your spouse. And if you don't have a spouse, make sure that home is a godly home. Faithfulness there. If you're with your parents or your parents are living with you, these are the kind of, you ought to have a home that brings honor and glory to God. And I'm talking about husbands submissive to God, wives to husband, kids to parents. I'm talking about respect in the home, which in today's Christianity, I'm sorry to say, has left many homes. And that makes my heart sad. I've seen it. Probably you have too. But our walk should be getting better each passing day, and our homes ought to remain full of integrity and honesty, you see. There's a third area that I've written down, and that is where we work. Where we work. And I realize that most of my church family, many of my church family are already retired, but you all have work responsibilities in some way. But let me just say this. I've said this for years, and I still mean it, that the hardest workers in any job, in any place, ought to be the people of Timberline Baptist Church. 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, and work at it, and all the rest of it. You ought not be lazy. You ought not be lazy. You ought not try to just get by. And of course, my church family, they're a bunch of hard workers anyway. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir right now, and my church family knows that's true. But really, if you've got a job, get it done right. When I was a youth director, I learned a truth a long time ago. If you assign one teenager to get a job done, they'll get it done in no time. If you assign two teenagers to that same job, they'll get it done in twice the amount of time. If you give that job to a group of teenagers, you're lucky if it gets done at all. They're too busy fellowshipping with each other and talking and all the rest of it. And I know that's not true in every case, but I did find it true in youth ministry. And the Lord privileged me to be a youth director for a very long time. And I'm very thankful for those years. And I really honestly am. But I've encouraged over the years, our teenagers, are when they get a job, you work hard. You give it everything you got. As Dr. Evans used to teach us, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better's best. And give it all you got on your job. But then I wrote down one last area that I think that we need to be springing up toward heaven in, so that God looks down and says, I'm pleased with that. I mentioned, first of all, in our walk with God. Secondly, in our homes. Thirdly, in our marriages and in those relationships like that in our homes. I said where we work, but then where we live. Now, what do you mean by that? Isn't that the same as your home? Our home is in a neighborhood. And so I'm talking about the very best neighbors ought to be the people of Timberline. Good neighbors. There is, I think it's still active, an RV park club called the Good Sam Club. And their motto and how they wanted to be was they wanted to be good Samaritans. They wanted to be good neighbors. They wanted to be good travelers. And that's what they wanted to be. The very best neighbors ought to be the people of Timberline. And you cannot witness effectively to those who disrespect you. Let me say it again. You cannot witness effectively to those who disrespect you. And oh, how important it is that they respect you. I think about our church right now. You know, we've been at that same address, 512 Cannon Avenue, since August 17th of 1994. That means that we have been there for a long time. That means we've been there for 30 years in the same place. And you know, we've outlived all of our critics. We've been egged. We've been shot at with BB guns. We've had the tires on our vehicles slashed in times past. But you know, we've tried to be a help to anybody who needs it in our area, and we have been. And you know, the church bought many years ago a really nice snow blower. Right now, I'm feeling really, really badly that I've not been able to bed down to the church and clear the sidewalks in front of the church because a lot of people in Manitou Springs walk from point A to point B. And every time it snows, I'm able to get out the snow blower and I'm able to take care of our walks. Well, one of the main reasons I'm going down tomorrow, and I am going to go down tomorrow, Lord willing, I'm going to go down so that I can start up the snow blower. And it's because it's so cold, I'm going to have to plug it in to get it started. It's not going to start with a pull start like it normally does. And I'm going to have to plug it in and go out there and start it up and clear the sidewalks around our building and up and right down in front of our church. I'll do that because I want to be a testimony. Not like some folks who would never clear a walk or whatever it might be. But when somebody walks by Timberline Baptist Church, the walk ought to be cleared off. The ice and snow ought to be taken away. And I thank the Lord that we're able to get that taken care of. Our mailman, he drives in a vehicle, but he walks up to our front door. And I think about how he has to, I looked on the steps of the church. And it's so bad in Manitou Springs yesterday and today. And I looked and I saw footsteps going up our steps. I was looking at our security cameras. And I saw footsteps walking up our walk and coming up our steps to come up onto our porch and probably delivering mail. That may be something the cold weather has frozen and broken. I don't know. But I feel bad about that because that needs to be cleared off. And it doesn't matter who does it. But I've got this big snow blower right now that's sitting in the shed. We call it the he shed at the church. We got a she shed full of decorations and a he shed full of tools. And it's sitting in there. And tomorrow morning when I go down, I'm not going to go in the church and take care of a lot of other business first. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go in, I'm going to get the key, I'm going to open up the he shed, and I'm going to pull out the 50-foot extension cord, and I'm going to start that baby up, and I'm going to do the walks and try to save our testimony with our neighbors. And you ought to be that way as well. And that's what I'm saying. I think the Lord is pleased when we are living at peace with those who are around us. And trust me, we've had our number of critics over the years in Manitou Springs. And so when that happens, I want to make sure that we are not the cause of the criticism. If it comes, it needs to come from honest being critical because they don't like us or whatever it might be. But I don't want them to be critical because they have a reason to be critical. In the summertime, we open up our doors and windows and we sing out and have the piano and the musical instruments singing and playing and all the rest of it because I want our neighbors to hear us praising the Lord. And we do. And we'll do that this summer if this cold streak ever goes away. So, I have written this in conclusion. And that is this. And like I said, this morning I kept you for about 50 minutes, and I've not even had you online with me for 35 yet. But God does not ask us to grow up all of a sudden. No way. None of us could do that. We're not equipped to do that. He does ask us to spring up, though, to be in the process of growing. He doesn't ask us for a lot of growth, but he does ask us for some growth. When he sees this, he promises that heaven will look down about what's going on, and he might even see how it's going. And I believe that as long as we are springing up, righteousness can look down. As long as we are headed in the right direction, righteousness can look down. As long as we are making those decisions that please him, righteousness will look down. Maybe, just maybe, God has seen the sincerity of the people of Timberline Baptist Church. And that's why Timberline Baptist Church, for 34 and a half years, has remained stable, has remained solvent, has remained all the bills taken care of, the finances, the people remaining faithful. And I'm just so happy about that, that maybe, just maybe, righteousness is looking down from heaven as he promised. Let me go back to Psalm 85. And let me read you, if I can, the verse 11, that fourth request that they made of God. See, they realized that they had been away from the Lord. They realized they had disappointed God. They realized that their rebellion had caused God not to smile and to turn his face away from them. And oh, how they wanted God to look down upon them in righteousness. And it says in verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. And again, the psalmist even wrote, as I gave you a moment ago, Psalm 80 in verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then again in Psalm 31 in verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. I don't remember all the words to the song that Bonnie sang many years ago, but part of it was like this. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Make thy face to shine upon me, Lord. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. And I don't remember the rest of it, but I know it was something similar to that. But I'm glad you joined us tonight. I trust that God has used the message to encourage you, understanding that we need and want the smile in the face of God to look down upon us. And I do thank the Lord for a faithful church family. I thank the Lord for each of you. And I'm so glad that you were able to tune in tonight. And thank you for allowing me to cancel services at the building for safety's sake, for the frigid temperatures. They say tomorrow's supposed to even be worse temperature-wise. And I think about that, I would rather be safe than sorry. And I want our people to be safe and warm. And I don't want to be sorry for making a foolish decision. So right now, let's have us a closing word of prayer. And let's ask the Lord that he might apply the service, the message, the verses of scripture, the message tonight to our hearts.